Okay, great. Hi, everybody. I'm Robin. I'm a compulsive overeater, food addict. Very glad to be here. This is a sweet meeting, and it just tells me I need to get out more. I need to go to more meetings. So many people I don't know, some people I have known for years, and this is just, it's like, wow, I'm so afraid to do this. And now I'm just, well, I'm more comfortable. I'm not totally unafraid, but anyway, I really enjoyed a lot of what I heard so far. When Joanna asked me to speak, I wasn't sure I was going to do this. And by the time I told her yes, the only piece left was 8, 9, and 10. And it's no coincidence, because that's exactly where I am. And exactly where I am. So, you know, God has a sense of humor. My qualification, I came in 86 and have been abstinent for most of that time. I had a huge relapse back like in year 5. And I think, you know, there's a part in the big book that says we can't rest on our laurels. That we can't. It's easy. It says it's easy to rest on our laurels. And I was resting on my laurels. I got to know my laurels real well. And I really think it almost took me back out. Last year, probably last fall, was the beginning of it. And I started asking for help. What I was doing wasn't working, and I needed other help, and God gave me other help. I did kind of have an idea of a higher power when I came in here, but I didn't like him. I didn't like him, but I didn't want him in my life. I didn't know what he had to do with food, you know, what God cared about my food. And frankly, I didn't want any sort of higher spiritual being telling me how to run my life. But I forgot about the love piece. You know, I forgot about how loved I am. And somebody started telling me, Robin, you are a precious child of God. And it, like, I'd never heard that before. And it was such a beautiful thing to hear. I don't know why I'm going off. This is not my step. But my husband and I, well, let's see. So I came in. I had tried my last diet. My final diet was eating only healthy food. I mean, I ate all the time. I could not talk like this. I could not get up here like this. I was scared to death, very shy, very introverted, and I don't think I spoke in OA for 6 months, for the first 6 months I was in, because I was just so afraid, and so afraid that I had to be profound and that I wasn't. And I struggled with that. I was over 200 pounds. The diet, I gained like 11 pounds at my first weigh-in. It's like, it never works the way, you know, when I think I'm supposed to lose weight, I end up gaining. I remember once for my best friend, her wedding, and I was going to be in the wedding, and I refused to buy the dress that fit me. Darn it, no, I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to get down, and I'm going to, you know, look really good at whatever. And by the time her wedding came and time for the fitting, I had to get panels sewn into the size that I got. You know, I had to have those panels sewn in. And I felt so embarrassed for her, you know, that, anyway, so, you know, my plans to lose weight and be thin and well and finished and done and everything's perfect just never worked. My husband and I recently moved, and we just spent several thousand dollars getting plumbing fixed. Not even in the house, out in the yard, digging this huge trench. And it was really a lesson in 8, 9, and 10, because to me they're like Roto-Rooter. These are 8, 9, and 10, I have named them the Roto-Rooter steps for me, because it's like, you know, we kept having water in our basement, and we didn't know where. We hadn't even moved in the house yet when it was happening, and my husband was like, wow, you know, this really clear water, it's cold, it must be fresh water. And so the plumbing guy comes and he goes, you see that white stuff over there? That's toilet paper. And so it's like, no, it's not just clean water, it was sewage, you know? But it's a great analogy for the stuff that was inside me blocking me from my solution, which is my higher power, right? So in step one, you know, we're convinced, we hit bottom, we crash and burn, at least I did, and come in here. And step, you know, we're convinced that we're powerless. They say, you have us over the barrel, all right. You say that we're, you know, we have, there's no power, you know, we don't have any power. Now what do we do? Well, the one who has power is God of our understanding, right? The God of our own understanding, however we conceive that. And in order for me to get there, I have to clean out, I have to do that house cleaning. So last fall, I got involved in this it's a phone meeting. It's an OA phone meeting. And what was I going to say about this phone meeting? Oh, I can't remember. This is what happens when I know. It's like I just lose my train of thought. I get very self-conscious. But anyway, the Roto-Rooter piece. Oh, cleaning me out. Oh, the house clean. Now I remember. They're like, you know, you've been abstinent for 20-some years. What are you doing on this call? Why do you need this? Why do you need this? What's, you know, I don't understand. And what I said was, they talk a lot about house cleaning and the stuff that we have to clean out of ourselves. And I said, you know, I did some really good house cleaning in a couple of rooms. But the rest of it was sewage, really. There was a lot of stuff, and I love that story about last week's shower, exactly. It's like, you know, the step work, the inventories I did, the resentment stuff that I dealt with, whatever I looked at back then, if I'm not dealing with the stuff that's in my on my plate today, I'm going to be in trouble again. So, you know, the plumber came at 10 o'clock at night. He didn't leave until 1 in the morning. He stuck 150 feet of this snake down, you know, out the house and out to the street. It was wild. And what cracks me up about it is once it hit the blockage, the equipment just starts shaking and rattling. My husband was up in the bedroom and could hear the machine upstairs. It was so loud. And that, to me, is what the cleaning out of the garbage, it's like. And there's this wonderful sound of gurgling as the water just rushes and flows and everything gurgles its way out, you know, the way it's supposed to go. And that's kind of like what happens in here by this house cleaning. So, you know, step eight, I really found that I had stopped working 8, 9, and 10. I wasn't doing 8, 9, and 10. So what does that mean? I was very resentful. I waited a long time to get married. My age had a 5 in it. Started with a 5 when I got married, you know, so I'd waited a long time for this. And I was finding that this very precious relationship was starting to, you know, unravel in a sense because I was so angry, because I was so resentful, because I wasn't dealing with my self-centeredness in the moment. All I was doing was pointing the finger at him and saying, it's all your fault, and I married the wrong man, you know. Which I did not. I know I didn't. But it took the fear of that and also my clothes getting tight and gaining weight and realizing, you know, this is only going to go one way. This is only going to go down, you know, not my weight. But I knew I was starting to let in foods that were high fat, mostly it was high fat stuff, that I was thinking, well, I'm out and they don't have this carb, they have this carb, I can have this carb. Well, you know, the fact that it had 10 times more fat in it that's on my food plan is an issue, you know, but I kept saying it's okay, and but what was getting me more was the death that happens before the food goes out, which is the spiritual death, the emotional instability, the unhappiness, and when I asked for help, it was there, and I got on this phone meeting, which helped a lot. I let go of my old sponsor that I had for many years. I got a new sponsor who has impressed on me like no one else how critical it is to work these steps all the time. That this is not just I get to tell you what I did 5 years ago, and you know how many people here have heard my amends stories from, you know, years and years and years ago. It's like, what am I doing today? How am I treating my husband today? What? So since my food has gotten cleaned up, a lot of memories have bubbled up, and my amends list has grown because I remember, oh, there was that woman who blah, 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 you know, it's like, oh, I need to contact her and I need to reach out to this one. And somebody shared recently, was it 40 or 50 years? 40, 50 years, you know, there's no statute of limitations on amends. And I thought I could get away with making one up. You know, like, oh, that was so long ago. I really don't need to go back there. I can't find that person. Well, with the internet, you can find almost anybody. If they're still living, you can get pretty close, you know, and I've started looking people up, and I've been able to find them, even though they're, you know, not where they were. But I talked about this morning in our meeting. There's a friend of mine who was very close, like glued at the hip close. And our friendship disintegrated about 12 years ago, 10, 12 years ago. And I felt that I had been wronged, and so I disengaged and just totally divorced this friend. And it's never sat right in here. Other people have said, oh, don't worry about it, it's not a big deal. You know, friendships are meant to move apart, whatever. But I didn't feel right about it. And I have tried to write amends letters. Thank you. I've tried to write amends letters, and they always came out very snarky, very, you know, catty. And I finally was able to write one. What I realized is I had never forgiven her. I had never done step 8. I had never forgiven her. I was trying to write an amend to someone I was still very angry with, you know, very hurt by. And that's not the way it works. And I had to come to a place of forgiving her. And I think I have. I've written a letter that's very different than the ones in the past. And the next step is I was thinking, well, I'll just email it, or I'll just mail it. Because I found her online. She's in a different state. I found her. I can just mail it. And it's like, well, you know what? The big book says we don't shrink at any of them. We don't shrink. We do what's necessary. It also says we subject ourselves to a drastic self-appraisal. And when I see the words drastic self-appraisal, I don't see any leeway in there for, well, I don't have to do this one, or I don't have to do that one. To me, that means drastic, and I need to go back and get everybody that I missed the first time through, and that I need to be thorough and not shrink at anything. I have a lot of hope for what this can bring in my life in terms of the freedom. I feel like with some of these amends, I have an elephant sitting on my chest, like I can just never feel peace about certain things. And now what I'm realizing is it's not worth it to hold on to it anymore. It's just not worth it. If it's going to cost me my abstinence, my emotional and mental sobriety, my peace of mind, my relationship, you know, with my husband and the people that are important to me, I'm willing to swallow my pride now and go to these people and say the things that I need to say. It's a different mindset for me now. It's just changed. I'm doing these things they call turnarounds, which is like it's not exactly a daily 10th step. It's a 10th step whenever I need to do one. I kind of used to think that they were I've done 10 steps in the past, which means, you know, and when I was wrong, promptly admitted it. But I haven't really lived that out. And I've heard that it's one of the most underutilized steps is 10. And what I'm learning now is I really have to work it and be doing that self-appraisal a lot. And especially when resentments come up and the gifts of sitting down and writing these things out and asking myself the questions, you know, where was I selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, or afraid? What that has led me to is a whole different level of discovery about what makes me tick, what's broken in me, and why I have looked to everybody else to fix these things, you know, to make me feel whatever it is I'm demanding, these emotional demands or demands for emotional security. So I've gone to write these little simple things and thought, oh, this is nothing. But if I have that negativity, that irritation, that, you know, I remember somebody and I go, ugh, you know, then I know I need to, okay, go ahead, write it down. Just take it through the exercise, take it through those questions. And what has come has been amazing. It's just been amazing. But it really has driven home to me that I rested for way too long. I left too much stuff clogged in the drain. I was blocked off from God, the God of my understanding, who is my only hope for not, you know, for my only solution for this disease is power that comes from somewhere else, not me. And if I am not keeping that pathway clear, then it's only a matter of time. It may take a long time, but I'll be back. I'll be back out. So I'm actually excited kind of about doing these things now. It's like, wow, I've just in the last 6 months, it has changed. A lot of things have changed for the better. And I'm looking forward to, I'm thinking of flying to this friend is in Florida. I'm thinking of actually flying there. I don't know if I'll do that, but at least a call. It's so easy to just send an email. I'm back to her again, but to send an email or a letter, and then you don't get the benefit of a conversation, a real honest conversation. And I think I'm ready for that now, and that in a lot of other relationships as well. So I'm all done. Thank you.